Welcome. I'm Jessica Teigen, and this is the Evolving to Exceptional podcast, where we talk about reaching peak performance in our workplaces, homes, and communities so that we can live our best life possible, an exceptional life. Welcome back to this week's episode of Evolving to Exceptional. This is part of our Evolving Workplaces series. You've got Jessica Teigen and Meldina Alabasic. Today, we're going to be talking about busy brains of business, how to get out of our heads and begin exploring our other brains for answers. And as I was reflecting on this, I kind of came up with a funny saying for this episode of challenges everywhere. They swamp our brains and we get nowhere. And the truth is, just preparing for recording this episode, I was super stuck in my head. I was going over and over in my head, well, what is the problem? How can I think about it? How should I present it? What should I do? What should I say? And I actually had to stop and quiet my head so that I could hear the real reflection from my heart, so that I could hear the answers that I really needed for what to say in this particular episode, which was particularly interesting given the topic of the episode of how our brains being so active and how heavily we use them in the workplace and how that actually can impact our businesses negatively. And if we think about our brains, our thinking brains, they're kind of like a crack in a windshield. All it takes is one small tiny rock to leave a dent or a small crack in the windshield. But if we don't call the windshield doctor right away, that crack's going to spread. And sooner or later, over time, the whole window becomes cracked. We will be unable to see where we are going through all of those cracks. When we stay focused in our heads and ignore the emotion, identity, need for connection, and safety needs of employees, we create these little cracks. I'm going to say that again. When we stay focused in our heads, when we're stuck in our heads, and we ignore the emotion, the identity, the need for connection, and safety needs of employees, we create these little cracks. And they don't have to be big, dramatic moments. Rather, it's all of the collective small moments that actually create major consequences and have a major impact on our businesses. So let's take just a moment to consider what we're talking about with challenges. What is it that we're addressing that our brains get caught up in? So I want you to do a little exercise along with me, all of our listeners. And I want you to just think about what it is that's weighing on your mind right now. So I'm actively engaging your brain. I want your brain to think about what is it that's been weighing on it? What are those thoughts that are going round and round and round in your mind that you're stuck on? And the truth is, we all, no matter who you are or what role you're in, we all carry a tremendous load around with us all the time. And some of the things that we carry around that we're thinking about are real. Some of them are just stories we're telling ourselves, and others are self-inflicted suffering. So maybe you want to pause this even and write down or think about all those things that are weighing on your mind. You know, this could be your assignments at work, the challenges you have with your customers or with your coworkers, the fight you had with your spouse, the challenges you have with your kid, maybe something to do with your boss, your fears about the world, the war in Russia and Ukraine. It could be literally about anything that's weighing on you. Then I want you to write down the things that are weighing down on you about yourself. Things that you think or worry about, like, am I doing a good enough job? Am I a good enough mother or spouse? Did my boss like my work? Is my opinion important? Will I ever be happy? And then I just want you to feel that list. Whether you wrote it down or you just thought of it, I want you to feel that load. Can you feel how heavy the load of things that we are thinking about and carrying around with us really is? Have you ever considered how much you're holding in your head, heart, and body at any given moment in time? And the truth is, this is what we call the human condition. Our heads hear things and experience things, our hearts feel things, and our bodies hold on to them. And everyone does this. Everyone carries these things. Everyone struggles with their reactions and feelings in response to experiences. It is literally what is meant by having the human experience. There is no right or wrong, good or bad. It literally just is. And all of this stuff that is created by your head actually clouds out our ability to effectively reflect and integrate valuable insights into our lives. Because while we're thinking, while we're focused on all of these challenges and all of these problems and all of these things we have to think about and solve, we are not allowing the other brains in our bodies to process this information and give us the answers that we really need. So I want to ask you, as we shift into talking about this topic a little more deeply, to just take that load and put it down. Take a deep breath. Put it on the floor. Throw it across the room if that feels better. But put it down so that you can be present here in this moment and hopefully take away something of value to help you with that load or help you think about it in a different way. So I want to shift gears now a little bit and talk about some of the workplace struggles, the challenges that we experience in the workplace and, you know, what gets in the way. So what are some of, Maldina, the things that we really need from people in the workplace? What is it we need from our people when they're performing in the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need our people just to show up. We need them to come into work, do their best work, serve their customers, whether that's internal or external, to the best of their ability, and then go home, come back, and do it again the very next day. Just keep kind of rinse, repeat type of thing.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, yeah. Right? So what is it that gets in the way? Because we know that doesn't happen every day. We know that that's not the experience. So what is it that gets in the way?
Oh gosh, that list can go on and on forever. But some of the things that I hear most often and I've experienced myself is, you know, there's too much to do. There's not enough people, which is kind of what we're experiencing right now. There's labor shortages. There's not enough supplies. There's supply chain issues. Customers are difficult. There's just not enough time to get into everything.
And we hear those same challenges. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, what workplace you're in, it's always the same stuff. And why do these things keep happening? Why do we see them in every workplace, everywhere we go, everyone we interact with?
Because it's part of life. No matter where you are, what industry you're in, no matter what part of the world you're in, it's life. Things happen, challenges and obstacles come up all the time.
And they're the same.
Yeah.
They're the same root challenges, which means that they're not unique. They're just part of life. They're part of what we're going to experience no matter what workplace we go to, no matter what job we perform, we're going to have these same challenges. So what happens because of these challenges? How does it impact the work, the employees, the customers they're serving? What happens when they encounter these challenges most of the time?
So most of the time people get into a thought process where they're victim thinking, they're giving reasons, stories, and excuses, coming up with all the reasons why they couldn't accomplish something or why that challenge presented itself. And then that leads to feelings of exhaustion and frustration and feeling overwhelmed, maybe even causing drama in the workplace and a lot of complaining and finger pointing, blaming, and even feeling, you know, sorry for yourself or shaming, feeling guilty. And at Evolving to Exceptional, that's what we like to call falling into the hole. And once we're there, it's really easy to get stuck. And that's what we call the human condition. That's something that every single person feels at some point, you know, at one place or another. They fall into that hole and then they're doing these things that are going to keep them there even longer.
I love the falling in the hole analogy. I actually got it from a Brené Brown video around empathy versus sympathy that is really powerful if you haven't seen it before. And that when we get into this emotional overwhelm kind of state reacting to these circumstances is when we start to look for ways to justify it or get out of our responsibility in it. And so that's where the reason, stories, and excuses come in. And the truth is that life is just hard. And I don't really blame anybody for falling into a hole because we all are dealing with challenges and experiences in our lives that are difficult. But when we are not able to get out of the hole, when we're not able to stay coherent and present, is when we start to argue with our reality or resist the present, and that's when we get stuck. And so if we're not in the present, if we're not focused on what we're doing right now, and we're fighting against what's already happened or resisting what is going to happen, then we're stuck. We're not moving. And that's really what we want to not have our employees doing. We don't want our employees stuck and not making progress, not moving forward. So how do people typically respond to these limitations and challenges? Once they've fallen in the hole, what then? How do they respond?
Well, I think for starters, we try to respond with our head because that's our nature. We try to think our way out of the problems. And, you know, coming from an organization that was full of engineers, I myself have analytical in my top five strengths. It's our fallback, right? We're designed, our brains are hardwired to find the problems in our lives and try to seek solutions as soon as possible. But what we fail to see sometimes is that these challenges aren't really problems. They're just our current state of existence, and our response to them is that human condition that we're talking about. So when we're thinking about problems, we're automatically creating the reasons, the stories, and the excuses. So it sounds a little bit like, you know, this is a problem because there's not enough people, there's not enough supplies, there's not enough time, you know, fill in the blank. Or it's, this is happening because so-and-so didn't do what they should have done. You know, that department didn't finish their task, so I couldn't finish mine. You know, again, fill in the blank there. Or it might sound like I couldn't do it because I don't have enough time, or I'm worn out, I'm exhausted, I'm feeling overwhelmed. What tends to happen is we can end up spending all of our time thinking about how to fix, change, connect, critique, improve, or develop instead of actually doing something. And the problem with seeing challenges this way is that our focus becomes our reality. So if we stay focused on thinking about the problem, then it becomes our reality, and it might not need to be our reality, right? It becomes all that we can see. We can't even see those solutions. So, you know, this all goes back to the fact that our beliefs impact our reality. So whatever we believe to be possible or impossible, we're going to be right. And that's so important. So I want to say that one more time, because I absolutely love this quote and I think it's so true. But whatever we believe to be possible or impossible, we will be right. And, you know, one thing that is very important to also know is that there are no perfect circumstances. There is no life that is absolutely exactly the way that we want it to be. So we can't solve or eliminate all of our problems. We just have to navigate through those challenges.
And I think you said a couple of really important things there I want to highlight again, which is one, that we see this a lot where organizations create these lists of all the things that aren't working, of all the problems and all the issues, and then they go over them and over them and over them. And what do you think happens when you focus on the problems list over and over again? It becomes your reality. Your reality is that you're living in a world filled with problems that are frustrating, overwhelming, and exhausting. And it wears your people down. It wears them down, and it causes them to feel like they're just consistently drowning, that they will never get to the other end of the problems. Because the truth is, there will always be problems because there are no perfect circumstances, because we live in an imperfect world with challenges. So we will never solve or eliminate all of the problems that exist. But what we can do is shift our focus. So that is really, I think, the most key, is to remember that where we're focusing has a ton of impact. And while we're in our heads, we're not moving forward as effectively as we could.
So Jessica, why do you think people typically respond this way? You know, what's causing us to get stuck in our heads when we are faced with these tough challenges?
So I was really lucky in that this past week, I had just gotten some training called M-Braining, or MBIT, which stands for Multiple Brain Integration Techniques. And this training just instructed me on all of the neuroscience and background on this topic and on how we have multiple brains. And the truth is that I think what is causing us to get stuck in our heads is that we're only using one of our three brains. And that's typically because it's the one we're more comfortable with. If we can just solve the issue with what we know with our brains, then we can resolve it. We can move on.
So, Jessica, what do you mean by one of our three brains? I've always heard we have just our one very, very powerful brain. What are the other two?
So let me just tell you a little bit about what I learned in terms of the neuroscience here. I won't go too deep into this, but we actually have neural networks in more places in our bodies than just in our heads. So if you think of neural networks, that is the neurons that connect together, wire and fire, so that we act and respond in certain ways. They are what store our memories, what store our knowledge and information, and they help to dictate how we act. And traditionally, we think of the brain as just the one that we find in our heads. But we also have these same networks in our hearts, our gut, and even our nervous system.
And why does this cause us to get stuck?
Well, when we're only using our brains, we're actually trying to think our way out of challenges. We're trying to solve those problems again. But many of our workplace challenges are actually related to either our emotions or relationships, which are our heart brain, or our identity, instinct, or safety, which is our gut brain. And if we want to move through our challenges in the workplace, if we want to actually overcome and resolve them, we actually have to consider how to use the other brains that we have that are linked to those challenges.
So, do you have any examples you could give our listeners?
So let's start with, I think this is an easy one, especially since we kind of talked about falling in the hole just a bit ago, is starting with emotions. They are often the root cause of our being stuck in that hole, literally stuck, right? And when we experience a challenge, we often probably too basic, always, we always experience a feeling. We don't ever experience a challenge without having some sort of feeling about it or emotion about it. And if we don't understand the feeling and why we are feeling it, it can become stuck. We get stuck. It's easier to point a finger than to acknowledge our own emotional struggle that's causing the frustration. It's easier for me to say that was your job or that was your fault or somebody didn't do what they should have done than to actually acknowledge my feelings of frustration or exhaustion or my own feelings of inadequacy and struggle because of a mistake that was made or an issue that occurred. So when we don't understand or move through those emotions, that's when we can get stuck.
And how do we see this show up in businesses?
So if you walked around and listened to the number of times when discussing challenges or issues or things that are coming up in the workplace, people use the words think, know, head comparatively to feeling or our gut-based words, it's completely skewed. And at a minimum, you know, the head brain is at a minimum the most valued brain, if not the only brain used to face challenges and issues in the workplace. I mean, historically, we've even said, leave your emotions at home, leave your personal issues at home, you know, all that kind of mentality, suck it up, you know, just show up, do what you got to do, you know, that kind of mentality. And we often see examples of where people are discouraged from trusting their gut or following their feelings. And instead, we champion the data, the information, the analytics. We put all of that before feelings, emotions, and instincts. And when we do that, we're saying in the workplace that data, information, and analytics are superior to and should be used in lieu of feelings, emotions, and instincts. And so that's where we start to see these challenges and this impact of focusing or being only in our brains on the workplace.
I can't count the number of times we've been in a meeting where someone's spoken up and said, this just doesn't feel right. You know, what we're talking about, maybe the solution we got to just doesn't feel right. And we've kind of silenced that person. We quieted them down and said, well, no, this is what the metrics say. This is what the data is telling us that we need to do. Your feelings, that gut feeling that you have, you just need to suppress that.
Absolutely.
And so what is the challenge then in the business world of being in our brains?
And so I thought about this and I came up with kind of a list of challenges, and we're going to talk about each one of these a little bit. So the first three really relate to the heart side. So these are elements or parts of what neuroscience has shown. Our hearts are really responsible for in terms of our heart brains. And the first of that is really emotions, that we ignore emotions and ignore our hearts where emotions are coming from. So we respond to challenges with how to solve the problem rather than supporting a person in working through the challenges to a solution themselves. So you see this a lot when an employee comes to a manager with an issue. And the manager jumps in right into telling them what to do instead of helping them move through how to discover that for themselves. We can also ignore or avoid dealing with issues that are emotional. You see this a lot where it makes people uncomfortable with certain displays of emotion. And so when things get emotional, we just shut down or we avoid talking about them. I think a really impactful time for this, at least for me, was in response to the George Floyd event, where George Floyd was killed by a police officer, and the protesting and the response to the video footage of that, and workplaces that tried to just ignore that it happened and the impact that it was having on people. Having experienced that, the emotional effect of that. And actually, even at the time, I actually spoke to an employee who was having an incredibly difficult time, and no one talked about it. No one even mentioned it. And how impactful that was, how hurtful it was that such a major, issue went completely unacknowledged. And then I think there's certain emotions that just make people uncomfortable when people get passionate or full of energy. They might be called dramatic. There's a lot of sadness or hurt or even fear. Then you get called too emotional, right? And you're too sensitive. And so we get really uncomfortable with the emotions, and we try to push them away or ignore them.
Well, then that goes back to our previous episode with kind of what's wrong with that traditional corporate culture that we talked about, and you hit on it a little bit earlier, is that for so long we've been told to put our emotions to the side, to leave them at the door when we come into work, that this is almost, I mean, it's ingrained in us.
And I think if you look at who gets promoted and who's in what positions, it tends to be those that can control their emotions the best, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So another challenge is a failure to connect. A failure to connect is that we get so busy getting stuff done, right, that there's no time for small talk or connection. Just get to the next meeting. Rush through, don't spend too much time chatting. I've even heard, leaders say in talent reviews, I notice them talking too much and I notice them being too chatty. And we don't value those moments of building relationships and the time building relationships and giving the time for lunch, dinner, outside work, even giving time during the workday to building and spending time actually connecting. And in a lot of cases, even the personal questions that do get asked, they remain surface level. They're not actually meaningful or heartfelt. They're not coming from a place where the person actually cares. And you feel it when they're asking you those questions, right? I don't know if you've experienced that before.
Absolutely. And I think the one that I've experienced the most is probably those lunches that I skipped out on. I got asked so many times with not just within my own team, but also with other teams, and getting that opportunity to connect with them. And I shut it down because there was just way too much stuff I needed to get done. And Hindsight's 2020, right? I really wish I took advantage of those opportunities more, because I would have gotten to build those connections, build those relationships, and learn from them, instead of, just focusing on what needed to get done. How could I cross off the most things off my to-do list?
Absolutely. And I think another one that kind of goes along with these heart-centered ones is values misalignment. When we stay in our brains, we ignore or we don't consider that a person's values might be misaligned with our corporate or our personal values. And there's a really great example of this that I just experienced, or I just heard about, where an employee was being asked to go into a role that they really actually want to perform, but that they have some cultural values that make it difficult, if not impossible, for them to perform the role as currently expected. And so they, because of some of their cultural and religious values, traveling and driving around and going to lots of different places on their own is, not part of their cultural what's expected in their culture. And so there's a misalignment. Not that that person doesn't want to grow and develop, but when you don't consider or understand a person's individual values and how they fit with what you're asking of them, you may misconstrue someone not being ambitious with actually it's just that their values, what's important to them, is misaligned with part of what the expectations are.
Yeah, and that can be a very powerful thing too, because for the person on the end receiving it, it's hard to convey that sometimes to someone who might take it a different way, right? You don't want to be seen as an outsider, or that you're outside of the norm, and it's hard to convey those reasons.
Exactly. So let's move into another category, which these have more to do with kind of the gut brain. And the first of these is a lack of inclusion. So interestingly, it took me a minute to get to this, but to really understand how when we dismiss an individual's identity, that creates an environment that is not inclusive, right? When a person feels like their identity is not included, then we no longer have an inclusive environment. And what ends up happening is that we have this tendency to dismiss or not consider different experiences of people. So, I'll throw myself, kind of under the bus here, Maldina, with you, because you and I've had this conversation before, that I grew up in a Christian Lutheran household, and everybody I knew experienced, celebrated Christmas. And I never really thought about that others were celebrating different holidays at different times, until you and I developed a relationship, and then my son started going to Montessori school, where they actually celebrate, Ramadan and Chinese New Year and all the different cultural and religious traditions, and they recognize all of the differences. But I think it's a great example of where we can, when we're not connected with, does this feel right? Is this aligned with everyone's identity? We may dismiss those that are different. So we might say things like, to be a leader, you must. Or to be in sales, you must be this. And those behaviors may be excluding some from the culture or environment entirely, making it impossible for certain people with certain backgrounds to feel comfortable in that setting. And with traditional approaches to development that focus on weaknesses of individuals and what's wrong rather than their strengths, that can impact what they then leverage in the workplace, right? If they feel like they have to improve what is not a strength, that can become a difficulty.
Absolutely. It sets that expectation that there's a certain mold that we all must fit into.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And that we have to be whatever that thing is, right? And so we're dismissing that core identity, that people are truly completely different. And one salesperson is not the same as another. One HR person or order entry person or whatever role it is not the same as another. And if we really want an inclusive environment, we have to consider those individual identities. Another example is creating unsafe environments. So this is kind of an extension of that lack of inclusion, where depending upon the environment, you know, if an environment is particularly political or religious, those environments may make it unsafe for those who are different from them to be present, to speak, to share, to give insights. And those cultures can actually trigger fears. So if you have a culture of perfection or high achieving, you may actually be triggering fear of failure for people who struggle with making mistakes. And so you may, whether intentionally or unintentionally, be creating a culture that failure is unsafe, that triggers people from being able to take risks and challenge themselves for fear of actually failing. You know, other examples might be fear of rejection or belonging, you know, so maybe it's an environment where you've got to, people are very similar, that you've got to enjoy certain things. Everybody plays golf, maybe mentality. And so now people are triggered when they are not, they feel as though they don't belong, or that it is not an inclusive environment. And so, you know, these types of examples, you know, change, retaliation, can all create unsafe environments where people are actually triggered in a way that they can't show up and perform as they might otherwise if that was taken into consideration.
Yeah, and what that makes me think of is, for me, Jessica, you mentioned that, you know, I introduced you kind of to the idea of Ramadan and how I celebrated it. And, you know, the first time at my previous employer where we celebrated it, it was kind of a tough time for me, to say the least. We had a lot of happy hours at that time, and I was fasting during most of the day. And so for me, I was going to these events and then just getting bombarded with questions of like, why are you not eating? Why are you not drinking? This is a social event, right? And so for me, that was a trigger of, oh, I'm going to go back into my shell. I'm just not even going to go to these events because I'm getting essentially kind of called out, and everyone's zeroing in on me. And so I'm like, it's just better that I stay back and stay at my desk. And unintentionally, right? Nobody knew about it. It wasn't like I had something on my forehead that said, hey, this is the reason. But it was just those constant questions that just made it feel like not a good place for me at the time.
Well, and look what you just said too, if you do it in the context of this topic in particular. People are thinking, why is she not eating? Why is she not drinking? If those individuals were to come from a place of, let's say, heart, if I were not eating or not drinking, I wonder if I would be comfortable with people asking me, how would I feel? How would I respond? If I were making that choice from a gut instinct, you know, does my gut tell me that that is just by chance that she's not doing that? Or maybe there's a good reason, and either I can ask and have her share, or she's not comfortable sharing, right? And maybe I should just leave that alone. But we don't check in there, right? We don't ask those questions, which leads perfectly to we eliminate instincts. We prevent employees from responding with their gut. Instead, we teach them to follow process and policy designed precisely perfectly, right? We spend forever designing processes and policies to tell people exactly how to execute their jobs. But in reality, the challenges they face cannot be all predetermined. We don't know what's going to happen. And instead, what they really need is discernment, because only a human can connect with their multiple intelligences in order to do what feels right, to trust their gut, and when a policy says they should, even when a policy says they should not, and to say, you know, in this case, this policy doesn't feel right. I think we should do something different. And you know who's really great at that? Southwest Airlines, because they do an excellent job of allowing their people to do what they feel is right, and to make those decisions and to trust their gut rather than dictate all of the expectations and expect people to follow them perfectly. And the truth is that there are really complex decisions that require a lot more than just our thinking. They actually require us. They require our feeling and our being. We need to have all three in order to make the right decision, in order to make a well-informed decision. And the truth is, we think we know better, but there really is no one right answer. Every problem must have a solution. Every challenge must have a path to success.
I remember, Jessica, when I started a new role at when you and I were working at our last company, and I guess I felt super overwhelmed because I didn't feel like I knew all the right steps to take in order to solve a problem that I was facing at that time. So my gut was just like, just go to Jessica. She'll tell you the answer. Go to Jessica. Go to Jessica. And I remember so vividly one time I came and presented that a problem to you, and it was in the legal space. And you said, well, what's your gut telling you? You know, how do you feel about it? What do you think you should do? And I said, well, I don't know. There's not a process for it. This has never happened before. And you said, well, think about it a little bit deeper. You know, what do you think is the right, what feels right to do next in this situation?
Oh, I don't even remember that, but that's fantastic that resonates with you. And I think that there's a lot of instances like that where we really do have to rely on more of that. And we tell people not to do it. The more detailed and specific we are with telling people how to do their jobs, the less flexibility and freedom we give them to make good gut decisions on what the right thing is to do.
It feels safer when you have, and that's kind of what my experience has been in that new role that I was starting. It was, I wanted to rely on a piece of paper or some sort of workflow that would guide me through exactly how to solve this problem instead of leaning into, well, what feels right? What makes the most sense? What feels good to do next in that situation?
Exactly. So then that leads us to that people get stuck. So without moving through challenges, people get stuck. They're unable to evolve and grow. They actually aren't learning or gaining new insights. Without the support, they're left to bury their issues rather than resolve them. So they, instead of actually dealing with and moving through challenges, they end up shoving them inside. They end up sucking it up, right? It even goes with the statement, right? I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to push it down in my gut, and I'm just going to deal with it. And I'm just going to keep going. And that adds up. And that causes them to revert to the same patterns of complaining, venting, blaming, which is unproductive and ineffective. And so we keep executing the same way. We keep trying to tell people to be in their brains and be in their heads at the expense of their heart and their gut. And that's impacting negatively our businesses. It is causing real challenges and issues for the people that exist within them. So as we wrap up today's episode, I want you to kind of take with you, being in our brains has a negative impact on people in business. When we are only in our head, when we are not in our heart and our gut, when we are not leveraging all of our multiple intelligences, we are getting more challenged outcomes. We are causing more issues in our workplace, and we already have more than enough challenges without adding to them. So I encourage you to jump on our live LinkedIn webinar that we're going to be doing later this week on Thursday. You can go to our website and sign up for a reminder, or you can go out to LinkedIn, look me up, Jessica Teigen JD, and you will see that live event that you can sign up for. And we are going to spend some time taking this challenge and looking at how can we solve it? What are some ways to solve these issues, or what's a different way for businesses to exist as beings that actually incorporate all three parts, or all three of our brains and multiple intelligences in terms of overcoming the challenges that we encounter in the workplace. So as always, thank you for joining us on Evolving to Exceptional. We look forward to talking more again next week and seeing you on Thursday in our webinar. You can always get our links in the show notes. And I hope you have a fantastic day, and remember to always be evolving.